The title of today's message is Who Christ Is and What He Does. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse number 15 and we're going to read through 23. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? We know, of course, that that verse is speaking of Jesus, who was there in the beginning with God, and He was God, and He is Creator. For by Him all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they may be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That is the pre-existence. Talking about the pre-existence of Jesus Christ before He came here as our Savior. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ was the first to be raised from the dead. So we need to remember that as we talk this morning. He was the first to be raised from the dead. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Why? Because He has all divine power in this world. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So we see there's a lot packed into those few verses that we just read. But I ask you this morning, if Jesus were to return today, this very day, could He fly a jet plane? Could He fly a shuttle, space shuttle? Well, then let me ask you, if you're not sure how to answer that, can Jesus reach through the vastness of all the universe and save a person?
Yes.
Yes. Jesus can do all things. So we have to remember that. You know, these two questions are not a new problem. There was a belief in Paul's day that divine forces controlled the world and that man's salvation depended upon him getting it right with all the powers between himself and God. Now, I got to tell you, I have a problem thinking that I have to be on the right side of the God of sun. I have to be on the right side of the God of the moon. I have to be on the right side of the God of the water, God of the earth, God of all animals. I have to be on the right side. That's what they believed back in the days when this began. That they had to get things right between yourself and all the gods of the universe before you could get yourself right with God. Now, I've got a problem with that. Because the Bible just told me that my God created this universe. And if He created the universe, He's the God of the universe. He's the God of the sun. He's the God of the moon. He's the God of all things that He created. And for that, I'm thankful that I don't have to have all these other gods I have to have things right with before I can get right with the one God. There's something wrong with that thought. You see, they thought that Christ was a Lord. They believed that He was a Lord. They believed that He was a Lord that had come, but they did not believe that He was the Lord. the Lord. They didn't believe that. You know, we have the Bible. They didn't. They had some scripts of the Old Testament, but the New Testament had not been written. So they were having a hard time converting to what they were, to what God wanted them to be. So they did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Lord. So Paul began by affirming the lordship of Christ. See, the confused Christians were directed to Christ. He was the Lord who could really help them. Now, if I've got a problem with a severe sunburn, so severe that I had to be hospitalized, the God of the sun's not going to do anything. But the God who created that sun can. So see, there's the difference. I don't care about what all the gods that they thought they had to have things right. All I care is about having everything right with the God, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, because the three in one are God.
Amen.
So I have to make certain that I try my best to stay on the right track. But you know, we all have one problem to start with. I don't know, maybe this way and I don't, being from Arkansas and all. We all have the same problem. Sin. I was talking with a gentleman in the church this morning. I said, you know, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but that doesn't mean you're not going to sin. That means you have someone that can take that sin away. You have someone you've trusted in. You do your best to live for them, but that doesn't mean that you're going to do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're going to make mistakes. We all do. But we have a loving Savior. So the confused Christians were directed to Christ, the Lord who could really help them. Because I got to tell you right now, do you believe that Satan can save you from the world that he controls?
No.
Do you believe that all of his little demons running around need to be worshipped because they can do more than you can?
No.
Do you believe that you have a God that created all things and he is in control?
Amen.
I believe that. You know, we have things that go on in the world that we think, boy, that's a good idea. But maybe we don't research it as good as we could before we made that decision. And we find out that, oh, well, these people that are controlling this, my goodness, look, they're rebel rousers. They're against the government of the United States. I have a problem with that. Why? Because the Bible says that the local governments come under God. Our own Constitution says that. We are one nation under God. And we are here to live the life that God wants us to under God's supervision.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, false teaching that they had there that we were talking about, the gods of the universe, that false teaching was completely undercut by the affirmation that Jesus Christ is Lord over all powers of the universe. All powers of the universe. And I believe that. I believe that my God is in control of everything.
Amen.
I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be a Christian, would I? And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be worthy to stand up here. I would not be worthy to teach y'all. But you see, the early Christians used the book of, or used Psalms. Now, they did that in order to praise God. But they didn't have a heavenly highway hymn book. They did not have great gospel songs. What they had was the songs that they wrote, praising God. That's what the book of Psalms is all about. And they didn't have that. So Christ is praised in our text by, number one, proclaiming him to be the Lord of the universe in verses 15 and through 17. It tells us that he is the Lord of the universe. If he's the Lord of the universe, I don't have to worry about asteroids. I don't have to worry about the things going on in outer space, those black holes and things like that. You know why? It doesn't make any difference. It's not my power that can change it, but God's can. So I pray to him about the problems that we face. I can't handle them, but he can. Then we go on and we see that he was also praised as the Lord of the church in verses 18 through 20. You see, Paul invited the Christians to worship with him, praising Christ, which was the first decisive step facing all of the preachers at that time. It was also the first decisive step that the Christians had in facing their problems in the world. We still have that today. We have his power to fall back on, because he is more powerful than you. He is more powerful than me, because the Bible says, greater is the God that is in you than he who rules the world. My God's greater. My God created that fallen angel that we call Satan. I wonder if we'll ever come face to face with him. The Bible says he's the most beautiful of the beautiful. But he sure doesn't act like he's a God's person, does he? It's because he's not. But he's alive and well in the world today. So our major problem right now is overcoming the things of the world and giving them to God and let him straighten them out. If Billy did something I didn't like and I told him about it, he said, okay, but didn't change. It's not me that's going to change him. It's going to be the power of prayer that changes it. If I got someone in this church that's sick on their deathbed, it's not me that's going to do anything for them. It's a power of God that will heal them. It's not me. It's not me. I have no power. I'd be afraid of myself if I did. Why? Because this body's human. It thinks of things of the world. Can't help it. That just sneaks in every once in a while. Those things of the world are things that will really take you down in a heartbeat if you don't watch what you're doing. But there's two majestic titles that are listed in our text. And one of them, it says, the image of the invisible God. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. What does God look like? Anybody ever seen God? When you think of God and you try to picture him, what do you see? The pictures that you know by heart that you've seen since you were a child of Jesus Christ. That's what you see. We don't know what God looks like, but the Bible does tell us we're created in his image. I just hope he's better looking than I am. Don't y'all?
Amen.
Boy, that's a good one there, wasn't it? That's the most amens I've got in a while. But I have no power. I'm not the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. We cannot see him, but our Bible describes him and tells us of his deeds and the things that he did in the world. The other title is the firstborn of all creation. Huh. Thought that was Cain and Abel. No. Jesus Christ was the firstborn. He's God's son. So he was born before this earth was ever created. Because John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ. He's the one that has preached to us salvation through faith in God. So He's the one that has taught us that. So He is the firstborn of all creation. Not only was He the firstborn of all creation, He was the first of all creation to be resurrected from the dead. Can you imagine the shock on the apostles' face when Jesus appeared before them? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine as Jesus stood before them with blood still dripping from His body and told them, "Touch My hands. See the nail holes. Put your hand in My side, Thomas, and feel." Why? Why would He do that? That was His testimony to us that He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and was resurrected. You know, we know, let's talk a little bit about Jesus Christ as Lord of the universe. All things were created by Him. You know, that's mentioned four times in the Scripture. That all things were created by Jesus Christ. It's written in the Scriptures. There's three carefully chosen phrases. One is that all things were created in Him, all things were created through Him, and all things were created for Him. So you see, everything that's here was created for Jesus Christ. Yes, even we were created. We were created to do the things that God created us for, and it was to praise His name.
Amen.
Lift up His name in glory and say, "Thank You, Lord, for all You've done.
Amen.
Thank You, Father, for healing. Thank You for Your watchful eye upon me because of what's been done." So the whole world was created in Jesus Christ. But through Him, God created the rest of the world. I wish I'd have been there when He created the animals and Adam was naming them. Where did His vocabulary come from? You want me to tell you? From God. From God. That's where it came from. God's power worked through Jesus Christ to create all things. And all things were created for Him. We are here to praise the name of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for you and for me, for every one of us here. And I don't care what you believe, what you don't believe. I don't care what kind of Christian you are. I'm telling you this morning, God created you for Himself.
Amen.
Amen.
That you might know Him in the same way that Jesus knows Him, our God. In Him all things were created. All things were created through Him. And all things were created for Him. All things were created through Him. I like that one. But you know what I like better? All things were created for Him. Why would it say that? What are we to do? Praise Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. He is the Savior. And He, and only He, can bring you out of the miry clay of the world and put you on a solid rock that you can walk and preach and teach and praise for Him. It's only through His power that that can happen. You see, Christ is also the Lord of the church. You know, the head in the body, the head is conceived as directing everything. Well, it says that the head gives life to the body. And that makes me wonder. Does my head control my heartbeat? Does my head control my body where I don't have to take those little dinky dude water pills? God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all in one, are the ones that keep your heart, your body going. Doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with what God desires for your life. I can take all the medicine the doctors give me. 7 years later, find out they weren't even doing any good. But you know what? I can stand up here before y'all with no pain. Because Jesus Christ is Lord of all things.
Amen.
And He will give me the strength that I need. The body, the head is the direction of it all. And who is the head of the church?
God.
Okay, there you go. Thank y'all. God is the head of the church. He gives life to the body of the church. The body includes all Christians worldwide, who in the beginning, Christ originated the church. So it was important for us to understand this church operates under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And if we're not operating under the lordship of Jesus Christ, we're not doing things right. Because the Bible says that's what we're to do. Give Him the glory. You know, pastor doesn't need, he didn't mean anything. Some of y'all will agree with me when I say the pastor ain't nothing.
Amen.
I knew that was coming. But you know what? You don't have to agree with me. You have to agree with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I'm preaching to you the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to reach out to Him, not to me. I can't save you, but He can.
Amen.
He can keep you going from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, until He's ready for you to come home. And when that day comes, ain't nothing you can do gonna stop.
Amen.
When it's time and He calls, it's time to go. As the firstborn from the dead, Jesus Christ has earned a supreme honor and, His supreme honor and His rank. His rank. What is His rank? I don't know. He may be like the army and have stripes going all the way down both sleeves. He may have general stars all across here and all the way down the side of His robe. I don't know. All I can tell you is Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And if He's Lord of all, I can't take that away from Him.
Amen.
He is the Lord of all. And we have to remember that. We have to give Him His honor for what He's done for each of us. By His resurrection, He appeared to everyone, all of His people that saw Him, as preeminent. Preeminent. He was destined to do what God told Him to do, that all people of the earth may come to Him in submission and receive from Him an eternal life. We're thankful for that. You see, those of us who are truly in the body of Jesus Christ with no doubts about what's going on, no doubts at all with what's going on, we will never, ever be defeated by this world or the things of the world. If you have people that don't believe in you or your testimony, that's fine. That thought against you will be defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. Jesus is absolutely everything the Christian needs. He is the fullness of Christ. Nothing exists between God and man but Christ. Aren't you glad? There's nothing between you and God except Jesus Christ. You don't have to go around anything. You don't have to go through anything. You don't have to go under or over. You are already having access to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we live in the fullness of His love. Paul did not believe in a series of powers. You know, they had people then that were seers. They said, "Oh yeah, I can see the future. I can tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I can tell you which horse race to bet on because he's going to win." Now, there's people that tell you those things, but you have to remember that person is not under the powers of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's power is available direct to you and to me by reaching out to him. You see, Paul is the only writer who used the word reconciliation. Man needed to be reconciled to God, but God did not need to be reconciled to man. Through Christ's death, he can reconcile all who have faith in him. I didn't have to go to God to be reconciled. Jesus Christ paid for that on the cross.
Amen.
He paid for it, and I've got it.
Amen.
Because I don't have to go through man. That's why I'm saying this, but I'm not debunking their worship because I don't know. But I don't think it's right to require a church member to come to me to confess their sins so I can forgive. I don't have that power. That power comes to you straight from God, not from me. It's something that he has brought and given to you. He delivered to you the whole package the day you said, "Lord, come into my heart. Live in me." There's no limit to the power of Christ's reconciling love. He died on the cross that we might have access to God himself. But the good thing about it is that reconciliation that he paid for, it's available to everyone. Not just men or women. It's available to everyone. It includes everyone. But their attitude was changed at the time this was written and even now. We were once alienated from God. But now, because of the reconciliation of Jesus Christ, now we are citizens in God's kingdom. His body of flesh in verse 22 stresses the physical reality of his suffering and death. The new relationship that created, it created a responsibility of each one of us. The different life is described in three terms. One, it's to be holy. That's to be set aside for God's use. It's to be blameless without oral guilt, and it's to be irreproachable. No valid accusation can be made. It's the same way with the Christian. People can hurl darts at me all day long. Know what? Don't care. I can't change it. I can't change it. You know who intercepts those darts? Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that. You know, just like yesterday at Belinda's birthday when we pulled in out here, she said, "Oh, you did it again, didn't you?" I just smiled and said, "What? You know what you did. You're just pitiful." Well, you know what? I was proud to see the look on her face when she walked in. Why? I love her. And I know she loves me because I can tell by her actions, the things that she does. It's the same way with God. If you love Him, your actions will show it. That's what it's all about, living for Him. There's three lofty ideals that Christ intends to do. One is to present you. See, He removed the fear of judgment. You know why? I don't have to fear when I go before God. I don't have to fear appear before Him and be scared. Why? Jesus is standing by the side of me saying, "This is my brother. This is your child. And he is blameless because of the blood that was shed for him." So I don't have to worry about that day when it comes. I don't have to worry about reconciliation, but it demands of me one thing. For me to be reconciled to God, I must be faithful to Him. If I'm not faithful to Him in everything that the Bible tells me, then I need to get on my knees and start praying. And we were to be stable, steadfast, and absolutely fixed upon what we believe in our heart about God, about Jesus. Never forget that Christ is the Lord of the universe. Never forget that Christ is the Lord of the church. A Christian must never forget that Jesus Christ is our Lord in all things. So this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus as your true and personal Savior, and He's calling you today, I'm going to ask you to step out and come. If you've not lived your life as you're called to, He reaches out to you this morning saying, "Come, be reconciled to the Father." And if you're searching for a church home, we want you to be where God wants you to be, wants you to serve. So anyone that considers joining any church, I believe that they have to believe in their heart, this is where God wants me. And this morning, if you're feeling that and you feel that God wants you here, I'll ask you to come if you want to come and join the church. The Bible says we're together in one accord. And I believe that. Jesus Christ is Lord. God is the Father of all things. The Holy Spirit guides me each and every day. And my job is to worship Him faithfully in all things. Let's stand. And as I said, we don't have a piano player, so this morning what we're going to do is just, we're going to bow our heads. I'm going to say a prayer. And as you bow your head and close your eyes, as I'm praying, if you want to come forward, I ask you to step out and come forward. Our most kind and loving Father, what a joy it is, Lord, to be in your house and to serve you. Father, to see my brothers and my sisters here this morning, knowing, Lord, that they're doing the best that they can to live for you just like I am. We're all in the same boat. We're all children created by God to serve, to love, and to show others what it means to be a Christian. So if there be anyone here, Father, that needs to come forward, I pray, Lord, that as all heads are bowed and eyes closed, that they come forward at this time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, if you would like for me to pray for you for any reason, just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. If you're not sure in your heart that you have met the Savior and that you are now one of God's children, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Thank you. Yes. Brother Walt, I want to ask you to do our dismissal prayer, if you would, please.
Lord, thank you for these services today. Lord, we thank you for the message that we heard. We ask that you seal it in our hearts and we can take it with us. Lord, we ask blessings for our church and for the people we have that didn't make it here today because of the way. Lord, we ask that you would bless them and bring them to our sake. Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. We'll be here again tonight at 5:30.
Hey, you. I heard over here the brother Billy, the blue.